Ladies and gentlemen, it's almost October, and you know what that means. It means Tanner's too much of a chicken shit to do the intro. So, there's nothing spookier than a cast member too scared to talk on a show centered around talking. My name is Shannon Young. This is Terrifying Tanner Thursdays, the return of Terrifying Tanner Thursday on the Podzilla 1985 Network. With me tonight, I'll introduce first the man himself. The show was named after, who didn't want to do the intro, Tanner Calvert.
I mean, I don't like being put on the spot for shit. You know, this is nothing new. So
you should have expected it, honestly, at that point. I think I was coming. Was I coming across a little loud? I was a little loud, wasn't I? I feel like I was a little loud. You what?
I said it didn't seem that bad to me.
Then I'm pulling it back. With me, of course, tonight as well, you hear that voice. That is the co-owner of Podzilla 1985, the host of Nerd Up, Mr. Jesse Kimball.
Hey, that's that guy I am.
Also with us tonight on an awful, awful webcam because we have not got to update her look yet, Lindsay Wolfgang.
Yeah, I'm here.
You couldn't look any more miserable than if you were back at work, honestly.
No, I don't want to think about that because that's going to come soon enough, so...
Also with us tonight, Shelby Chan.
Hello.
And lastly, the hunter himself, Double H.
Not my name. I would like to be referred to as FaZe Batman. You know how this goes.
Oh yeah, let's start. I know we said this. It's all about the scares the entire month of October, and we're kicking it off tonight here on the very first Terrifying Tanner Thursday in what I believe is years. We changed the name of the show to Are You Afraid of Podzilla After Dark? We changed the name of the show because Tanner stopped showing up. Now, through the power of the internet, Tanner can just remote in from any pond that he's at. So it is officially Terrifying Tanner Thursday once again. And tonight we're going to give you 31 things to watch in October. 31 all new, I assume, movies, TV shows, whatever, to watch in October. Now, before we do that, though, before we kick off the Halloween festivities on the final day of September, I do want to address something very controversial that's happened, and I feel like we need to put it out there and talk about it, and that is the fact that DC is doing a comic which with Batman teaming up with the FaZe Clan to stop the Riddler.
I think that's just the cover.
No, it's the comic. It's a whole comic.
Did you go to a full story about it?
Yes.
Oh, that's unfortunate. Somebody posted a GIF in response to that story that just, it's perfect. It's the Cartman, how can I reach these kids? That's exactly what's going on in that DC room right now. Because, the gaming is popular. FaZe is popular.
Yeah.
The kids know about that. Kids don't give a shit about Batman no more.
I don't know how many times.
FaZe is.
It is a clan. you okay? You doing okay?
Yeah, I'm good.
It is everything you said because I'm sneezy coffee
over here.
I just coughed and sneezed.
It's a clan. It's an online clan of people that play video games, and apparently, according to this comic, they're the best video game players in the world. No one is better. And Hunter, do you have a list of which FaZe members are going to team up with Batman in his struggle?
Oh, I can get them.
Yes,
I can acquire that because we did so last night. Full disclosure, we came across this last night when we were playing Red Dead. It was actually just me, Shannon, and Bob. And I was like, this is before my throat started going to crap. I was like, let me explain this to you, and I'll read it out to you in the old movie trailer voice. So I did the description there. I don't know if I can do it again, but, oh, come on. Give me the description for it. There it is. The FaZe Clan members include FaZe Banks, FaZe Apex, FaZe Temper, with three R's, FaZe Rain, FaZe Adapt, FaZe Blaze, which sounds like a joke, and then it just really goes off the rails with FaZe Rug. Rug.
It sounds like you just...
name is Rug.
You just announced the new, like, Globo Gym dodgeball team.
Laser, Blaze, and Blazer. Yeah.
They got blazers and lasers and all kinds of aces.
My only regret is that I don't talk to a certain someone anymore who loves Batman, so I could throw this in their face as, see, I was right. He's trash. That's why he's teaming up with the FaZe Clan.
Batman isn't trash, sir. DC makes questionable decisions. I mean, granted, like Marvel does too, but right now Marvel's still riding high off all those movies that are making billions of dollars. Okay. DC isn't doing quite that good.
Well, let me ask you this though. So, you know, historically, in one of the most infamous comic book crossovers, Spider-Man teamed up with Barack Obama. How do you rank that and compare it to Batman teaming up with FaZe Rug?
Well, I mean, in fairness, Superman also, well, I guess Superman didn't team up with Barack Obama. There's another universe where Barack Obama is Superman. DC did that.
I'm pretty sure you just gave Tucker Carlson a heart attack.
Seems unfair.
He didn't know.
That seems. Oh, you're going to make him team up with him? Well, we're just going to make him who he is. That doesn't seem.
Please tell me.
What if Spider-Man was teaming up with the Superman that was Barack Obama?
Please tell me that Joe Biden was Batman in this universe.
Joe Biden did not come up in that book.
Joe Batman. All right.
Joe Batman.
Yeah.
The description for this, for the record.
Oh yeah.
I'm gonna try. It's so bad.
All right.
A new video game has taken Gotham by storm. Its youth can't put it down, but unbeknownst to them, the game's developer is none other than the Riddler, hoping to enslave the minds of young gamers. To tackle this cyber threat, Batman enlists the help of the world's best gamers, FaZe Clan, to enter the game and brave its twisted levels, culminating in a final boss battle with a master of puzzles himself.
That's it.
In the immortal,
that's very bad.
In the immortal words of like Cody Sandusky, thanks, I hate it.
I'd like to back out of this bit, please.
Hi, Gina. Yeah, Gina, you're just...
I wish it was a bit.
You're back just in time.
But it's not.
Before we jump into the movies for this year, we were talking about how DC has teamed up the Batman, with the FaZe Clan. He is now officially FaZe Bat, and he is going to be the number one player. Okay, with that said, Tanner...
hate it.
Let's before we jump into this, let's give a little preview of what we're doing this month for Terrifying Tanner Thursday on Podzilla 1985. We got some plans.
We got some testing we got to do. Obviously, tonight being the first night of it, we're going to give everybody 31 movies to watch this month, starting tomorrow night. Get on it.
Things to watch, not things movies. Watch.
That's true.
Well,
things
to watch. Movies, TV shows, shorts, you know, whatever. From there, we're going to wing it on a few things. We got some other plans we're working on, but one of the big things we're working on is a live ghost hunt. Working on a different situation where we maybe get some cameras set up, find somebody who can host and stream it, and then can camera to camera.
Yeah, the idea we had was we would be investigating the area, and we would have Kaz doing the controlling of which cameras and stuff. And we're not sure if that's a good idea or not, but it certainly sounds entertaining. If Kaz ever is not busy and can actually do it. But yeah, so the ideas we had, we talked about the old Lorimer Cemetery. Since we didn't get to go before, we went to New Lorimer, myself and Lindsay, Jesse, and Asa, and Tanner. I think Big Johnny, was Big Johnny there too?
Yeah.
Yeah,
he was at the cemetery with us.
So we got something coming up. A couple years ago, we did a live Ouija board on the show, which was really scary. It was scary how many people bought into that bullshit. This year...
We did the Kinect wireframe thing with it, too.
We did. I'd like to do something like that again. I think the wireframe is a cool idea. I would like to utilize it again, but we'll see what happens. But that's all month long on Thursdays. Terrifying Tanner Thursday. We're bringing back the spooky all month long. Tanner, also, we're not doing the MF-er of the week because this is Halloween time. We don't do that on these shows. We also don't get political. But I do have a monster of the week. And the monster of the week is Pumpkinhead. Okay.
Why?
Because that's an awesome monster.
I like Pumpkinhead. Yeah,
pumpkins are so expensive right now. God dang it.
Well, just summon him. Get an old witch, lose a family member, and then summon Pumpkinhead. And then he's free.
Do you know who the far superior
way ahead of you. I don't know what that means.
What's that, Tanner?
Do you know who the far superior Pumpkinhead is?
There isn't one. It's just Pumpkinhead. I swear to God, if you say Sam Hain.
Pumpkinhead Harvey.
No, delete this man.
I don't
turn off his microphone.
I don't get that reference.
I'll get it for you. Pumpkinhead Harvey is a terrible, stupid children's song that was requested on K103 about 50,000 times a day, every single day throughout October. And thanks, I hate it.
Just because you're jaded by it doesn't mean it's bad.
No, it means it's bad. It's very bad.
Well, I guess
it was bad the first time I heard it.
I guess I know what the intro song for Terrifying Tana Thursday is going to be this month.
Thank you.
And Hunter has officially
not quit. That song.
Yep. I'm out.
No, all right. No, Hunter, you didn't let me finish the joke. The end of the joke was not that song. Anyway,
it's so bad. I hate it.
Skeletons and
we did that once. We did that once.
I like the remix of it.
Same.
Every week, I'm going to give you the monster of the week. And what that is my favorite monsters, like designs and all that stuff. Not necessarily that the movies are good, but that the monsters are just kick-ass. And I really think that Pumpkinhead is like top five monster designs of all time. If you've never seen Pumpkinhead, it's pretty good. It's not great. It's good. But the monsters...
It still holds up all right.
I like it.
Yeah, and the monster's fantastic. Pumpkinhead is fantastic. Okay, we're not going to beat around the bush tonight. Ladies and gents, we're going to get right into the meat and potatoes of this because I am the Potato Kid, and the Potato Kid wants to talk about 31 scary things to watch in October. This is your list for 2021, and we're going to jump right into it. Now, is that
the pumpkin head you were talking about?
Yeah, that's him. That's Lance Henriksen. Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
I just want to make sure.
So, since it is... since it is Terrifying Tanner Thursday... Don't go full Adam Sandler on the show, please. There's no way Adam Sandler will appear on this list.
No, surely not. Well, see, the thing was, we asked him to, and he said he was on a boat, and we were like, what are you talking about, man? And he was like, come toward the back of the boat. Anyway.
All right. Anyway. Since it is Terrifying Tanner Thursdays, and the man himself is...
Tanner's gone.
Never mind. Well, I thought the man himself was here. We're going to start, since it is Tanner's time of the year, since he's here, we're going to do something special tonight. And tonight we're going to start with Jesse Kimball for the first thing to watch in 2021. Jesse, what do you got, brother? Also, really quick, let's all just take a moment to appreciate Lindsay, who looks as miserable as she's ever looked on this show. Let's give it up for her.
Good answer.
She's never looked angrier.
By the way, every time you do the Let's Start with Jesse bit, all I can think of is Tiny Tim Bot. You've raised my hopes and dashed them quite expertly, sir. Every single time.
All right, little so Tiny Tim Bot. What we've got is we've got five things per person, and then there's going to be an extra one. If Tanner has an extra one, I'll let him take it since it is his show, technically. If he doesn't, I've got 10 on reserve in case we have any overlaps. So yep. I got us covered.
10 extra or just 10 total?
I have 10 extra, but I wrote 10 down.
Five. He has
my
10.
God.
Yeah. This is one of those shows, like one of the few lists where Shannon is fucking prepared.
And
this motherfucker
trains
all year long.
Yes. And again, I got to ask, are we allowed to talk about things we've talked about in the past? Like, can we...
No.
I mean, yeah.
I mean,
no.
What?
I mean, the rule has always been new stuff.
Right.
Yeah, but that's just getting hard. There's not been anything good come out in the
title of your
I've got
never
so
said
many.
It had to be good.
Yeah, just watch it. So say Malignant. I don't care.
All right. 1 year with the list legitimately was things to not watch.
Yeah, we did a bad
list.
That's
easier to watch. That's an easier list.
All right, Jesse.
Not easier to watch.
No.
So bad.
Hunter already gave us his list of five movies to avoid this year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Man, that was good. So I saw that list and I was like, because I thought we were doing movies we liked and I was like, choices.
He's got a lot of Tyler Perry on here.
Jesse,
all right.
Are you going to tell me that that Fred 2, Night of the Living Fred, is not an absolute masterpiece?
It's a banger.
Please.
It's a banger.
I might make that claim, Hunter. I know it's a hot take. I'm going to go out on a limit, and I'm going to make that claim.
Fucking, I'm an auteur over here. A bunch of pleas.
Fucking weeboos. All right, Jesse, what do you got?
Weeboos. Hubie Halloween. It's absolutely worth watching.
Saw that.
And it's fantastic.
It's so good. I saw it twice.
All right.
It has Keenan.
So we'll give a quick description of it when you say your movie. It doesn't have to be long. Just a quick description.
Hubie Halloween, it's the Netflix exclusive Adam Sandler Halloween film. The dude's name is Hubie. He's obsessed with Halloween. However, he is very easily frightened. It's another one of those movies, like, it goes back to the old ones where Adam Sandler has to talk funny.
Those are my favorites.
Oh, I'm not going to want to watch it because I hate when he does that.
It's so good.
It's really, like, it shouldn't be good, but I enjoyed the hell out of that movie. It's a lot of fun. I mean, it's Adam Sandler, so you know exactly what you're getting when you go into it. It's certainly not Jack and Jill bad. But it's
not much is.
Yeah. It feels like a classic, like a more classic Sandler movie, but not like Billy Madison or Happy Gilmore, but more like
Waterboy.
Little Nicky and Waterboy. Like the, I like the, both of those movies.
Go ahead, Jesse. Do the impression.
No, but I'm not going to do the Little Nicky impression.
Yes.
That's the one that made me stop
south.
Watching.
He's from the South. The Deep South.
South.
Hate it.
There's one part of that movie that legitimately gets me, of Little Nicky. It's the part where, like,
the nipples?
Yes, Clint Howard playing with his nipples. Jesus Christ. I don't know why that gets me.
So funny.
Oh.
Good luck with the nipples.
I like the part where he explains why he talks funny.
Shovel face. Don't worry, they hit him on the other side and fixed it.
I used to talk normal, then my brother Cassius hit me in the face with a shovel. I can die every time.
I especially don't like it when Shelby does that accent. Particularly the disturbed. All right, Shelby, you're up. What do you got?
Oh, real quick, is somebody writing these down? Or is somebody keeping a list?
Jesse. Okay.
Got it.
Yeah.
I mean, I can do it. I was just asking.
And I'll send it to Lindsay so she can make a graphic.
I program right now, so it ain't going to happen anytime soon.
I'll do it.
In paint.
I'll do it. I've got paint. All right.
Shannon, I messaged you. There's something else I need you to make me.
Oh, did you
go
mess
on with the show.
All right. Yeah. Go ahead. Shelbs, what do you got?
I pulled from some pretty old movies, ones that I'd only seen a couple times, but...
I can do it.
So, Attack of the Mushroom People, or Matango, which is a 1963 Japanese horror film.
Nice.
And
Shannon, you don't like Peele. Well, there.
It's about a group of passengers that are on a yacht, and they end up getting shipwrecked. They land on an island. They wake up a few days later. They're all screwed up, and they're like, they somehow figure out that they probably shouldn't eat these mushrooms that they're seeing on the island because they could
do it anyways.
Yeah, series of weird events. People start kind of going crazy. You can kind of see where it's going to go from there. But I really like dumb old horror movies like that.
Matango, right?
Matango.
Also,
Attack of the Mushroom People. Yeah.
Congratulations to Shelby for this is her first year. For our Halloween show.
I was just going to say that.
Yeah.
I think this is the first. Yeah. Yeah.
So
yeah. She wasn't here for last year's. Like, she was in the group, but she wasn't actually. She had to work, I guess, during that show.
I don't think she. Was she on the shows at that time? I don't think she was on the shows at that time.
No, I would just briefly jump in the background and have to go through other stuff.
Yeah, that was during the Maria era. Okay. Moving on. Tanner Calvert, the man himself, what's your first pick for a horror movie this year?
Okay, not so much a horror movie or even a horror TV show, but definitely something thriller.
All right, starting off strong.
Yeah, new series on Hulu, Only Murders in the Building. It's a thriller / comedy. It has been very entertaining so far. I haven't finished it yet, but...
What was it called?
The only Murders in the Building.
That's the one with Steve Martin and Martin Short and Selena Gomez, right? Okay.
I want to watch that one.
Yeah. It's been really, really good.
Yeah, I could dig that.
Yeah, it's a very good thriller. It has its thriller moments, so it's. I think it definitely fits with the October scene.
Well, I mean, it's got Steve Martin and Martin Short in it, so I don't care what it is. It's in.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, all right.
I'll watch an IKEA commercial with those guys in it, just whatever. I mean, hook me up in my veins.
It's weird they did that movie Three Amigos, just the two of them, you know? Anyway,
that's crazy.
It's nuts. All right, Hunter, you're up.
All right, you knew it was coming because I got to get this one out. Well, I was going to say I got to get this out before anybody else does, but I don't think anybody else has seen it. That said, I do my list usually in order of priority from best to worst. So, most important, Midnight Mass. This is the third time this week I have talked about Midnight Mass on show.
It is.
And I'm going to keep talking about it until everyone has seen it. Sarah and I checked it out on a lark this weekend. I had come across a couple of articles that were like, hey, this is really good. It's a good thing for Halloween. If you're, you know, perusing Netflix, check it out. Did not even know until I got into it that it was Mike Flanagan. Mm-hmm. So, Haunting of Hill House, Haunting of Bly Manor. What was the, he did a Stephen King one too. What did he do for?
Dr. Sleep.
There you go. Excuse me.
Yeah.
Dr. Sleep. It's incredible. And I've said it more than once this week. I'll say it again because I mean it. It is as good, if not better, than Haunting of Hill House. And that is a high bar.
I can't wait.
Extremely high bar.
I'm waiting for October because I do take this list seriously. So if there's stuff on here I haven't seen, I'll probably check it out. Maybe not Attack of the Killer Tomatoes because I don't know where to even find that one, Shelby. But mushrooms. Definitely mushrooms, my fault. But definitely Midnight Mass. That's on my list. All right, Lindsay.
It's seven episodes for the record.
Okay,
seven episodes. So it's going to take you a little while. It's not probably going to be a 1 day thing. You could. I wouldn't recommend it. Split it up in half at least.
You know,
I don't want to say anything else about it though. You need to go in cold on this one.
I have only binge watched one series the day it came out, and that was Daredevil season 2, and I regretted it. I got halfway through Daredevil season 2, and I was like, I wish I had not done this.
Yep.
Remember, Lindsay, I just laid on the couch all day.
Oh, it wasn't halfway. We got all but the last two episodes.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, I watched all of it that day. Yeah. It was miserable. Lindsay, go ahead. You're next.
Okay, so my first one actually doesn't air until the 8th, but the Muppets Haunted Mansion
will
hit Disney Plus on October 8th. It's basically their take on Disney's Haunted Mansion, and the premise is that Gonzo and Pepe, one of the two, I'm assuming it's probably Gonzo, but they have to spend the night in the mansion to get something, basically.
To get something.
And there's a crap ton of guest stars on it.
Yes. So. Yeah, it's ridiculous. Alfonso Ribeiro's on it. Sashir, what is her last name, Hunter?
Zameda?
Yes, she's in it. It is insane, this cast. Who was that? One that just... Some people that absolutely like shocked me, like, I can't believe they're in this film. Yeah, I can't wait to watch it. That's definitely on my list. That is a good pick there. Yeah. Muppets are always good. I'm a little sad that it's not starring Kermit the Frog. And I'm especially sad.
Yeah.
I think I'm most sad that it's not Gonzo.
Did you feel Kermit the Frog saying that?
It's not Gonzo and Rizzo.
It's not Gonzo and Rizzo.
It's Gonzo and Pepe.
Which I love Pepe,
from the clips I've seen, like their transition of the different Haunted Mansion elements using the Muppets. So I'm excited to see what all they actually do.
Me too. I'm very excited about this. This is a lot better than Toy Story Halloween or whatever that bullshit was.
Toy Story Night of Terror or something like that. It was okay, but it didn't feel as Halloween-y.
I'll save myself for last, for obvious reasons. My first pick for 2021 is Jacob's Wife. I just watched it last night. I put it off for a while because I wanted to put on this list, but I just procrastinated and didn't watch it. So I finally decided last night to watch it to make sure that it was good. And it was. It is a really good horror film. Stars Barbara Crampton. I'm a big Barbara Crampton fan. CM Punk's in it briefly, which is kind of fun.
Oh, that's where I've heard that name.
Yeah. So
the title anyway. Yeah.
It's basically about a preacher's wife or a pastor's wife who gets bitten by a vampire. And she slowly starts to, and she's like, she's that classic preacher's wife where she doesn't talk a lot. He talks over her. She's kind of suppressed. And so when she becomes a vampire, she becomes empowered. And she starts to really enjoy the feeling of being this monster. Meanwhile, vampires are kind of invading the town. And the pastor's trying to figure out a way to stop it and doesn't realize his wife is turning into one. It's really good. It's a comedy, but it's like a black comedy. You can find it on Shudder. It's fantastic. Really recommend it. Jacob's Wife is my first pick. And Jesse, that's Jacob with a K, by the way, because I just wanted to throw that in there. All right, let's take it back to the top. Mr. Kimball, round two.
All right, my next one is going to be from the Netflix Fear Street trilogy. The first one, 1994.
That was the best one, I thought.
We still haven't seen, Shelby and I haven't seen the third one yet. We've only seen the first two, but the first one was just really, really, really good and gruesome as fuck.
That last kill bothered me. Bothered me.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, not much really to say about it. It's just, like, it's the...
Jesse's now trying to remember the plot so we can give a brief description.
No. I remember the plot. Like, it's basically the town is cursed.
Yeah, pretty much.
And, yeah, it's cursed by a witch. They are trying to figure stuff out, like how to stop stuff from happening, and they're possessed people. And yeah, it's really, and like there's some parts of it that are legitimately super creepy. Like I enjoyed the hell out of that movie.
You always hurt the ones you love.
But that last kill.
Oh, I can't do it, man. I hear that freaking song now, and I'm like, I gotta go.
Don't like it.
Get out of here. It's time to leave.
All right, Shelby Chan. Weird ass pick number two.
My next one is it's for you, Shannon. It's The Horrors of Spider Island.
Please tell me the main character's name is George. Is this Spider's George?
George? No, Shannon's gone.
I think it's Gary.
Ah,
it's a copyright issue. West German horror film. It's about a nightclub owner flies a group of women to a Singapore nightclub, but you know, storm in the middle of the night, plane breaks into over the ocean, they wash up on this island, they go deeper into the island to try and like find shelter and refuge, and they go into a cabin and there's just this dead guy who's wrapped up in a massive spider web, and he ends up turning into a giant spider humanoid.
That's what happens with the green recluse. They actually turn you into a spider.
The green recluse.
I've become an advocate for spider rights since I've moved into this house. And any films that make spiders out to be monsters, I have a problem with that. Arachnophobia is a terrible film. I've changed my mind on it.
I was terrified of that as a child.
I was too. And like, that's not what spiders are like. Maybe giant spiders, but not regular spiders. Okay.
But this is a humanoid spider, so they are as shitty as humans and as deadly as spiders.
I was about to say, and I mean, like, monsters all along.
Spider man.
Is it some kind of spider boy?
Somebody turn her microphone off. Somebody mute her, please. She can't keep getting away with it.
He's a man.
Always. Always.
All right, Tanner, rope him in.
Okay, so my next pick is the Chloe Grace Moretz film, Shadows in the Cloud. Shadow in the Cloud.
Haven't seen it yet. It's on my list.
I got to watch it with Brandy. It was really good. Imagine you're watching a World War II style film. It's very much that, and all of a sudden, boom, paranormal. It was pretty good. And now that I'm seeing who wrote it, or one of the writers for it at least, it makes sense.
Who wrote it?
Well, I mean, he's still canceled, but he's still a good writer. But Max Landis.
Oh, okay, that's interesting.
It's a very stone cold situation, Chris Benoit. I can appreciate the work without appreciating the dude.
Yeah,
And I appreciate.
I don't want to give him my money or anything, but you know, yes, he is talented. I can't take that away from him.
It's on Amazon Prime. It's free on Amazon Prime if you got it.
That's where I'm going to watch it at. Yeah, that's on my list. Hunter, what do you got up next?
All right, well, here comes a controversial take. Fear Street Part 2, 1978, which I thought was the better movie of the two. We're not going to talk about Part 3, mainly because I feel like it's going to spoil some stuff for people. Yeah. So we have. We watched all three of them.
The first two.
I didn't hate Part 3, don't get me wrong, but just in advance, so you know, this is not spoiling anything. The whole, 1666, I think? That's like only half the movie. Because, of course, this is like a running... It's like three movies, but it's a running series.
Right.
The second half of 1666 wraps up everything from the previous two.
Hmm.
And that's pretty good. But overall, the first half to me was super boring. I liked the first movie just fine, but I'm a much bigger proponent of the 70s camp slasher stuff. That's my jam. I like that quite a bit. So I was a lot more into that particular... I also liked the dynamic between the sisters. I thought that was cool.
Enjoyed the second one.
Really well acted. Yeah, I like the second one better. But I mean, they both needed to end up on the list anyway. I was originally just going to say all of them, but I was like, no. Somebody's going to cover this. And they did. So we're good. But yeah, 78, Fear Street 1978, Part 2. It's going. I can't do the thing.
Anyway. I'm kind of sad that like no one's going to pick Part 3 now because someone's going to look at the list and see Part 1 and 2 and go, oh, well, I guess I just won't finish that trilogy.
I mean, again, you kind of need to if you want to get the whole story. It's surprising to me that you guys haven't finished it all, but this will be a good time to do it. Watch the first two again, be reminded of what's going on, and then finish it out.
Lindsay.
Oh. I'm going to go with Underwater. Which, yes, there are monsters, but mostly if you're claustrophobic or afraid of drowning in any way possible, you will just be tense this entire film.
Can confirm. Remember watching this film in theaters.
I was sitting there, like, just hugging myself.
Literally, within the first 10 minutes, 15 minutes of the film, she is curled up like a spider after it's died. She's just curled up into herself.
So uncomfortable. It was a good film, but I was just uncomfortable the whole movie.
And like, I cannot stress to you how uncomfortable she was, to the point that like my ex and I were watching it with her, and within 10 minutes we were giving each other this look, because Lindsay was just every few seconds she was just like.
So on my screen, you, Hunter, and Tanner have no video at all.
That's fine. They could still see us. It's on the stream. Okay. That's all that matters. But yeah, so underwater research facility breaks apart. They're trying to get out to get to a different one. They have to go. They're underwater, hence the title of the film, as they try to get to the other one. And then at the end, Cthulhu. I don't get it either. But
spoilers.
Spoiler man. Damn.
People to watch these movies.
But
monsters.
But is it Cthulhu? It's a long. All right. So actually, you know what? There you go. If you guys watch it, message me, because I have problems with this. And I want to know your opinion. Watch it first. You'll know what I'm talking about. Okay. My next film is... There is nothing fun about this film. If you want a horror movie that will absolutely crush your soul into tiny little pieces, it's on Shudder. It's called The Dark and the Wicked. It is the most depressing horror film I've seen in a long, long time. It's about a brother and a sister who come home to take care of their dying father, who is hallucinating, and they think something weird's going on at his old farm. And as the movie progresses, more and more weird shit starts happening. They start falling apart. It's actually really scary, but it is just incredibly depressing. There's nothing happy. There's no joy in this film. If you want a straight-up horror film that is just going to make you sad... The Dark and the Wicked is a fantastic movie. Highly recommended.
I thought you were going to say The Dark and the Wookie. I heard Wookie, and I was
like,
"That's
a different movie."
It's a different thing. No, that's that Mookie. That Mookie. Fuck.
All right.
No.
Let's just go to Jesse.
That's weirdly racist.
It's like, is it? I don't even know anymore.
Irish white racist.
Oh, I'm Irish. It's fine. 90% of this cast is Irish, so it don't matter.
All right, my next one is going to be Host.
Yes.
This is
the Stephanie Meyer bullshit?
No.
No. Okay, good. It's like, no. I veto your choice. You have to pick something new. That's
I think you and I watched this together, if I remember right, because I want to say, and I think maybe we watched it with Shannon too. Or
I watched it alone.
Okay, see, I think we watched it together. Basically, these people try to host a seance over Skype. And it's kind of like, it's really similar to...
Unfriended.
Unfriended.
Was it Unfriended?
Yeah.
Okay. Because I was trying to think, what was the one that had the was it Unfriended too? Like, that was the one...
Dark Web.
The Dark Web. Yeah, yeah. Okay. So yeah, it was Unfriended. It's really similar to that, except yeah, they're trying to host the seance, and they called in a demon, and it's really, really good. Shit goes south really fast. The entire thing takes place inside the Skype call or Zoom call or whatever, and I really, really enjoyed it.
And what's really cool about that is that this was one of the first COVID films. This was right at the height of COVID. So the reason that it's filmed the way it was with everyone, they all filmed their own parts separately, and then they just mixed the movie together. And what they did with it was really incredible. I agree with you. It's a fantastic movie. It's a really, and it's also one that is not super happy. Like, it's pretty dark. It's pretty violent.
Yes.
All right.
I enjoyed the hell out of it, though. It's a really good movie.
I agree. All right. Shelby.
This one is a 1964 American horror /sci-fi called The Flesh Eaters. So the last movie of mine that is some form of being stranded on an island in the ocean, because drowning is a fear of mine, and so all these ocean scenes terrified the absolute crap out of me. But this group of people are trying to fly to a different place. A storm forces them to land. They stay there, and then a bunch of corpses start washing up on the beach, and then they find out that this, like, weird flesh-eating virus has been out there, and I believe it was done by a former U.S. agent or CIA agent who was just, like, creating crazy diseases out there on this island. So basically washing up in the wrong place and just like, oh, this thing could eat me in seconds.
All right. And where can we find this anywhere? Or do I have to like go to, I'm going to have to go to like, to
public library.
Right, you got to go to that place where Homer got the Krusty doll, basically, if you want to get that.
I'm going to head over to Pirate Bay. That's where I'm going. Some frozen
yogurt while you're there too.
Well, they call it Frogurt, Hunter. Anyway,
that's good.
Something about potassium benzoate.
Don't do it.
Let's just go to Tanner.
So, has anybody mentioned anything from Disney yet?
Lindsay said Muppets.
Oh, sorry. Okay. So, I'm going to pull a Disney movie now. I'm going to pull Lindsay. Under Wraps, the original from 1997.
A mummy thing.
Disney Channel original movie.
It is. Three curious teenagers and one very confused mummy collaborate through some risky adventures with a race against time to reunite the mummy with his lover from 4,500 years ago.
I'm sorry. Did the description use the term a very confused mummy?
Yes.
Yes.
And I bring it up because Disney's doing a reboot of it, making it into a series for this month. And the original movie was good. I remember watching it as a kid and really liked it.
I enjoyed it a lot as a kid. I doubt it holds up, but I really enjoyed it as a kid.
I didn't like it as a kid.
Lindsay, that being said, you weren't a kid when that came out.
Whatever.
Under Wraps was one of the early ones that came out. Like,
yeah, but you were still an angsty teenager.
I was never an angsty teenager.
She saved all the angst for now.
Exactly.
Let it build. You bottle it up.
Angsty adult.
Just a normal, happy, white bread childhood. I was not an angsty child or
Tanner,
teenager.
Tanner, this is supposed to be terrifying. Tanner Thursday, not bitch ass kitty. Tanner Thursday. Anyway,
and that it was such a happy go lucky mummy. It was just
yeah, but that's got a dark ending. The mummy ends up murdering the entire town and eating their flesh. It was really weird for a Disney film.
Just. Jesse, why was the mummy Fat Albert? He's just like, ay, 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 ay.
Stop following me, camera.
You can't get away anymore.
I can't get away. All right.
Who knows where you are?
Double H, round three.
Yeah. All right, I'm pretty excited about this one because I'm a little surprised nobody has mentioned this. We never talked about this movie, but it is on HBO Max now. Sorry, I'm like 2 seconds away from coughing. I feel it coming. Anyway, Freaky. Came out last year. Catherine Newton, Vince Vaughn. It is the horror version of Freaky Friday, basically. The working title was Freaky Friday the 13th.
We were watching a video about outstanding horror performances, Lindsay, remember? And mentioned Vince Vaughn. Yeah.
Yeah, actually, both of them deserve some mention for that because it is very, very good. We watched it yesterday. We were looking. So you guys have seen it.
I have seen it. Yeah.
I haven't.
Okay.
I haven't.
I wanted to watch it back when it came out. And I totally forgot that it happened. And then as I was looking for stuff for the list yesterday, I came across it. And I was like, oh crap, we never watched that. Sure enough, it just hit HBO Max not that long ago. I think back in July. And yeah, it's really good. It is super goofy. Like in a lot of places, there are some parts where, yes, recognizing that this is like a magical body swap movie, you still have to set aside some belief. You have to suspend your belief a little bit for some things because there are still some things that happen to make you go, oh, come on, really? But it's
There's
worth
a lot
it,
of
man.
Things
I mean,
like that.
yeah. But it's worth it. The performances are incredible. Catherine Newton and Vince Vaughn in particular. Most everybody in the movie is good, but they put on some really killer performances. It's gross, like it's gory in several places. It's a Blumhouse thing. There's one kill in particular that rivals that really gruesome one from Fear Street that we were talking about earlier. And it's worth a look. So yeah, it was a lot of fun. It's funny, but it's also pretty gory. I will say it's like 10 minutes too long. the ending, they do an ending, they do a false ending, then there's an actual ending. The actual ending is like, you probably should have stopped 10 minutes ago.
Yeah, I did not.
The rest of it is worth it.
Yeah, the actual ending was real dumb. Like, I don't understand why they went that route, but whatever.
They really wanted to get that last line in, and when you watch it, you'll know what I'm talking about. The very last thing I'm not going to say who it is, but the very last line that said they wanted that in there real bad, and they extended the movie a little too long to get it there.
Please tell me it's just Vince Vaughn going like, wow, that was freaky.
I wish that would have been better.
That would have been
better. I really hope that's in the outtakes, actually. I hope that he just looks at the camera and says that.
But honestly, yeah, Vince Vaughn, like, doing the part of a nerdy, like, teenage girl is spectacular.
Yes, it is. Like, and Catherine Newton as a straight-up serial killer also works also very well.
I enjoyed that one quite a bit. I think of it more like if you've ever seen The Hot Chick.
Mm-hmm.
That, but you know, the body swap is good.
Yeah.
All we're saying is fuck Rob Schneider. That's it.
Yes.
That's all we're saying. All right.
What did Rob Schneider do? Did I miss something?
He played a carrot.
He's a prick.
He was. Anyway.
Lindsay, you're up next.
Next we are going to go with The Mortuary Collection, which a group of us watched last year. It's an anthology set that takes place in a mortuary where a young lady is getting hired to work there, or at a minimum interviewing for it, and it's interesting.
Clancy Brown gives a stellar performance as the mortuary collector. There is the word, I couldn't think of it. Oh my god.
The mortuary collector.
Yeah.
He worked in the dead people library.
The body museum person.
Yeah, a couple really good shorts on there. I thought it was a lot of fun. Twist ending was fun. It's a very lighthearted kind of horror film for the most part, so it's not good for kids, but it's if you don't want depressing, if you want to have fun at Halloween, watch that movie. Yeah. Now for my next pick, we're going to go right back to not having fun. Because my next pick is a Korean film called The Wailing. I watched this after we watched another film, which I have a feeling is going to be on this list, so I don't want to say any names. But The Wailing is about a cop who is completely inept, and his weird stuff starts happening in his town or his village whenever a Japanese man moves in, and they all think he's a monster. And it gets progressively darker and darker and more violent. And then the ending will just straight up grab you by your head and punch you in the face over and over again. It's not really scary. It does have some creepy moments. But there is this dread that builds up over the course of almost 2.5 hours, if not longer. It's a long movie. But it is just a slow burn. But once it gets to where it's going, you can't take your eyes off of it. So it's called The Wailing. And it's on Shudder, actually, I think, or Prime. It's one or the other. But check it out. It's long, but it's worth it. Okay. All right, back to Jesse, round 4.
Hey, all right. I believe that I know the movie that you were talking about, and I would probably be the one to take it. And it's not. It is on my list if there's a duplicate, like if somebody takes one of my other ones. So just letting you know, it's probably safe to use that one. Because I don't think anybody's going to take the last one after I'm Just Fucking With You on Hulu.
I'm not going to take it, no.
So that's called...
Oh, sorry. That's one of the... What is that series called? That's...
Hold on.
It's the one where they do After Dark. After Dark, actually, I think. Isn't it?
Into the Dark.
Into the Dark. That's what it is, yeah. And they do one based... Yeah. It's like... They do it based on holidays and shit. And they've been doing it for a couple years now. That's where Puka came from, which was on like one of our lists before. Yeah.
And this one's really solid. It's called I'm Just Fucking With You. And the gist of it is this dude who is an absolute internet troll. Like he's the guy that leaves like super terrible reviews everywhere. Like he posts on everybody's shit, calling them like, you know, saying all of those like truly terrible things, like eat a dick and die and all that other stupid shit. So he's an internet troll, and he's going to stay in this cheap ass hotel. He's in town for a wedding, and his sister's supposed to stay with him. And basically the hotel manager starts playing practical jokes on him, starting with, you know, just so like some real easy stuff. Like, you know, acting like he's going to get beat up because, like, you got a problem man, like, whenever he first walks in the room. And then it just gets, like, progressively darker from there. And I actually enjoyed the hell out of this movie. It was really good. The main antagonist, played by Hayes MacArthur, spectacular. He does, like, he creeps me out the whole fucking time. It's really good.
Yeah, that Into the Dark series, I've watched a lot of them, and none of them ever really caught, like, none of them were, like, super great. So, if you think this one was good, we'll check it out. The last one I watched, what was the last one I watched? It was about St. Patrick's Day. I don't remember the name of it. It was eh.
I've definitely enjoyed this one more than all of the other Into the Dark stuff. Like, I don't think it's truly great or anything, but I enjoyed it quite a bit. It was fun.
Except for Puka. Puka's awesome. All right. Shelby, have you watched Puka?
I don't think so.
Oh, Jesse, you have to introduce her to Puka. It's all about the Puka. All right, Shelby, round four.
All right. The Astro Zombies, a 1968 American sci-fi.
I've seen that one. I've seen it.
I like it. Basically, an angry scientist mad that he got fired just starts just Frankensteining monsters from murder victims.
That old story. That old chestnut.
But it's good.
It's old. It's really old. So
I don't know. Some of these old ones, like, I remember watching them when I was younger and going, oh my God, this is terrifying. And I'm sure going back and rewatching them, they're not going to hold up to that memory, but this is where a lot of fears for me came from.
That is exactly how I felt about Uzumaki. I kept talking about how scary Uzumaki was, and I couldn't finish it. And I saw that they finally put it on Prime, and I'm like, you know what? I'm going to finish this movie. And I actually watched it while I was staying with you two. One late night, I put it on, and I'm like, I'm going to watch this film. I'm going to face my fears.
I watched part of it until I fell asleep.
That's how scary it was. That's how scary it was.
It wasn't so much scary. It was just weird.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I now, as an adult, I can't believe I was ever scared of that movie. It's like, it's not bad, but it's just weird, but not scary. I'm stalling because Tanner is clearly on the phone, taking a phone call at the moment. So
what is Uzumaki about? Is that a Junji Ito?
Yes.
It's okay. Basically spirals.
Yes.
It's all about the spirals.
Which Uzumaki is Japanese for spirals. Yeah. Yeah, it's basically just a weird town where weird shit's happening and people get obsessed with spirals and, like,
and start doing the whole turning.
Yeah, they, like, one of them turns into a snail. It's weird. It's not particularly scary. It's just weird.
I remember you always wanted to go back and try to watch it again because, like, it freaked you out so much the first time.
Yeah. Yeah. What were you asking?
That's what I was asking. Like, so you actually did watch it? Yeah. I was looking at something else while you were talking.
Yes, while he lived here, that was his lead in.
Yes, I was wondering. I was like, Jesse, are you not listening to me?
I was looking something up for when it came around on my turn again.
I was listening. The manga for that, like the graphic novel that he wrote, is actually really, like, it's really neat, and I've read that one.
There's an anime coming to Adult Swim.
They've been animating a lot of it, and you can also go on YouTube, and there's a bunch of people that are kind of animating each panel of the manga. Not necessarily each character is moving, but it's like moving through the panel as they're reading it, trying to give it a little bit more life without taking away from the story by animating it and doing too much to it.
His work in general is amazing. Like, he is one of my favorite horror writers. Jesse, he also did that story you introduced me to of the people finding their holes in the wall.
Oh yeah, the Amagiri fault or something like that.
Yeah,
dude's very talented. He even has his own pop line out now. Did you know he has a pop line?
No.
Yeah, like 5 or 6 characters from his mangas, there are pops of them. It's called the Ito Collection.
I already know what, like, 3 of them are going to be, and I need them. Thank you.
Okay.
I need to see if there's one in particular that's a pop.
All right, Tanner, while she's gushing over these things, what do you got?
I'm going to pull one
that would absolutely destroy Sarah.
Oh, I don't want to know. I'm good. Like, and I know exactly what it is. It's very much a, what do you call it? I forget. Trypophobia.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm pulling one from the future. Halloween Kills.
Yeah, okay. I knew you were going to say that because we had talked about it. And, like, I really want to see this film. And I've heard it is way more violent than the last one. Like, apparently it is...
Oh!
Yeah, apparently this movie, they said, is borderline, like, X-rated with some of the murders that they have. Which, since there's only one killer, you know that means he's just killing a bunch of people. It's never them killing him. It's always him killing them. The only thing I don't like about this movie is, like, they should have ended it after the Halloween reboot. That should have been it. He burned alive at the end by Laurie Strode. That should have been the end of the film.
Here's the thing about it, though. We have a hard end coming up now.
We have a what? Oh, yeah. Do we?
Supposedly, I mean, it's only...
How many times have they had a hard ending?
Right. Like, well, they retconned all the other films other than the first Halloween. So... Although, apparently, in this movie, they drop a lot of Halloween 6 lore... Yes, I'm not kidding.
No.
Not kidding. Not kidding.
Tanner, it's not too late. You can change your choice.
No, stay by it.
You can do it now.
I'm going to stick with it.
Stick with it. I don't think you'll be disappointed. I've heard it's good. Anyway.
I really don't want to hear anything about the Cult of Thorn. I really don't.
Maybe Paul Rudd will be there. Double H.
Ooh.
All right. Well, I'm also going to pull from the future then. Ghostbusters Afterlife. No, I'm kidding. You can't watch it in October. It doesn't come out until November.
I wish. Oh, I wish. Right.
You said pull from the future and Paul Rudd, and I just kept looking back over my shoulder. it's Mo. Not today, old friend. But soon. I'm going to go with an unconventional choice here, and you might not like it, but I'm doing it anyway. Marvel's What If. Two episodes in particular, the fourth and fifth episode, the zombies, and then the Doctor Strange centered episode.
I liked the Doctor Strange one.
From yesterday.
I haven't seen that one yet, so I can't comment on it.
It could go there.
I've heard things, Tanner.
It's terrifying.
These two in particular were unsettling. They end in unsettling ways. The zombies one is a little up and down. Obviously, there's some comedy. But it ends on a pretty dour note. And then the Doctor Strange one, it's downhill from the beginning.
Yeah.
Into the ground. But it is really well done.
I had contemplated putting What If on my list, but I'm like, man, I didn't do it. You're right. It deserves it.
Doctor Strange. It's got the MCU tie-in, so, you know.
Yeah.
You got that.
Just on the Doctor Strange episode, though, it deserves a list, you know, spot on the list here.
I'm going to watch the zombie episode of nothing else because, you know, I'm a sucker for a good zombie story. And I like the Marvel zombies.
Go watch the latest episode.
There's no reason to, like, you don't have to watch them even in order if you don't want to.
Right.
They're not connected in the slightest.
Well, not yet. Yeah. Yeah.
Not yet.
Oh, exactly. No. It's going to be from now on.
Have you seen the one from last week about Thor yet?
Yes. Yeah.
So the ending of that makes it clear that they're moving toward tying them all together.
And then wait till you see the newest episode.
The newest episode tied them together. It's
what I gathered,
Not all of them.
But, let's stop talking about it for the people that haven't seen it yet.
Long story short, you could watch the zombies one independent of everything else, and that would be fine.
Right.
It would be totally unrelated. Even the Doctor Strange one works that way. So.
Yeah.
Speaking of zombie movies, Lindsay.
So, you gave me one, but in the process of us doing this, I thought of another one that I am amazed that I haven't mentioned over the past years, and it does go with zombies.
Did you take mine off the list?
Yeah, possibly.
What was it? Just remind me.
Werewolves Within.
Oh, yeah, that was a good one. Well, next year. All right, go ahead.
But I actually thought of two on my own without you giving me it, so... So this one is from 2001. It is a Japanese musical horror comedy, The Happiness of the Katakuris. It's described as The Sound of Music meets Night of the Living Dead, and it is god awful and hilarious and wonderful, and I love it.
Can confirm.
Will you scroll that last
K-A-T-A-K-U-R-I-S. Japanese is almost all phonetic.
Yeah.
That is a classic film. For better or worse.
I love it.
Depends on how you feel about it. All right. Really quick, Michaela mentioned in the chat, the only movie she recommends is The House That October Built Part 2, but not Part 1, which is strange to me. It's a strange series of films. Have you guys seen The Houses That October Built? It's about
the first
Yeah, it's like extreme scare. What is it? What do they call it, Jesse? Like that one dude had the scary houses, the haunted houses.
The Amy Manor.
Yeah, they're like the extreme ones. Yeah, it's basically that. It's
abduction and the torture and.
It's strange. All right, so I for my next pick, I forgot. I actually have one more really soul sucking one. It's called The Queen of Black Magic. It is a remake.
Why you gotta go depressing?
Well, it's not just depressing. Like these movies, especially the past three, this one and the other two. Like if you're looking for straight up horror this year, like if you're watching, if you're looking for honest to God horror movies that make your skin crawl and make you like scared. That's what I'm trying to bring this year, because we a lot of times we do jokes or we'll do funny ones. I'm trying to bring like actual like horror this year, because I know you guys are going to cover a lot of the kind of like not as intimidating for people that are looking for horror films. The Queen of Black Magic, I forget what country it's from. It's a remake of an older film, but it's about a family. They get stuck at this house. And there's something weird going on. They try to escape. I don't want to spoil anything because some of the parts in this movie legitimately shocked me. There's a part about a bus full of dead children. I don't want to spoil anything, but holy shit. And the ending is insane. It's nasty. It is a nasty little horror film. It's really good. I really recommend it if you're looking for something that's actually going to scare you. It's called The Queen of Black Magic.
So it's probably good you watched this without me.
Yes, I watched this one alone, and afterwards I had to drink a Pepsi. Really quick, Gerald, is The Dead Don't Die on anyone's list? Fuck.
It was last year.
Don't get me started on The Dead Don't Die.
I thought that was 2 years ago, and it was on the list of things not to watch. I'm pretty sure.
I fucking love that movie. Y'all kissed my ass.
Oh, I loved it up until the end.
Why did Tanner censor himself from saying butt and go with ass? I heard y'all kiss my ass.
My boo.
What was it again?
The Dead Don't Die.
The Dead Don't Die.
It's not on
here, let me find the song for you.
It's not on the Avoid list.
Oh,
it's a good fucking movie.
I would have used the Avoid dance on it if I could have.
But it doesn't look like it's on any of the lists.
So, The Dead Don't Die, for those of you who don't know, it's a zombie movie, which like seemed like it was going to be badass. It's got Adam Driver, Bill Murray, Tilda Swinton, Chloe Savini, Steve Buscemi, Danny Glover. I mean, like, this is an all-star cast. Selena Gomez. It's a badass cast about zombies taking over a town. And it's cool at first, and then it gets weird. And by the end of the film, when they're literally pulling the script out and talking to each other about it, I was so pissed off. Like, I'm a purist, so it's my fault, I'm sure. But, like, I went into this thinking it was going to be a legit zombie movie, and instead it turns out to be, like, almost like a middle finger to horror films by the director. I did not enjoy it. That is a story for another time. Tanner, don't get me started, goddammit! Anyway.
Fuck you.
Let's go back to Jesse. Last one.
All right, well, I'll lighten things up a little bit.
Please.
With my last one. Calling it a horror movie is it's a little loose, but Palm Springs, starring Andy Samberg and Kristen Milioti.
Yeah, Milioti.
Was this the one where they just keep repeating time?
Yeah, the mother from How I Met Your Mother.
Yeah.
He just kind of kept. Yeah, it was really good, and has J.K. Simmons in it.
He was my favorite
as the antagonist. Like, there's some shooting and murdering going on a little bit.
There's also definitely some existential dread in that. Yeah. You could call that for sure.
Yeah, like I think this qualifies as a horror movie still, though. Like at the very least, a dark comedy. But yeah, it's really, really good. It's kind of like Groundhog Day. Andy Samberg's character is he's at a wedding, and all sorts of super fun things happen, and time just kind of keeps looping. He drags somebody else in with him.
And he drags another somebody else in with him.
it's a lot of fun. It's a really, really good movie. I highly recommend watching it just in general, but it's a solid Halloween flick or October flick.
Okay. Shelby, last pick.
This is a 1993 Australian science fiction. I think all of mine have had the subgenre of science fiction, but that's my favorite, called Body Melt. It is about a experimental diet pill that people are being tricked into taking, and their bodies literally melt off the bone.
Where can I get this pill?
Go to Australia and...
Sold.
Everything will kill you.
Yeah, everything will kill you. One of those things.
Including the pills, apparently.
Yeah.
Shannon, let me tell you about the spiders from Australia.
Oh, I know about the spiders from Australia. Don't you worry about that.
Spiders, the horror of Spider Island, right?
The most dangerous spider over there is probably the Sydney... no, you know what? There's no time for this. Tanner, what's your last one?
So I'm taking Candyman, the new one.
You son of a bitch.
I haven't gotten to watch it yet, I'm literally watching it tomorrow since I've got the day off. That's it. Looks so good. And yes, from what does. I'm reading, I thought it was supposed to be a reboot. Apparently, it's a sequel.
Yeah, yep. No, it's
a
sequel.
Yep.
I didn't know this.
The guy in the movie is the baby from the first film. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm even more in.
And Tony Todd is in it as Candyman.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
that sold me immediately. All right, Double H, last one.
All right. Originally on my list, I had a film called The Lie that came out a couple of years ago. It's good. It's not great. Joey King is in it. And it's not bad. I'm going to make it as best an honorable mention because I came up with a last minute. I'm going on a Hail Mary here. I'm also going to pick something that's technically not out yet, but I'm banking on this one because I found out just now that it actually releases tomorrow. We're going with Ghostbusters. Ghostbusters Southside. This is a fan-made film, which there's been a ton of these in the Ghostbusters series. But this one is written and produced by a group called the Harold Brothers and directed by a described lifelong Ghostbuster fanatic named Patrick Lawrence. It's a fan-made TV pilot that is set 30 years after Ghostbusters 2, where they have indeed franchised and expanded across the globe. It says from their description, quote, based in the south side of Los Angeles, a diverse team of Ghostbusters is forced to adapt after the closure of their local division and the appearance of a demonic entity is summoned by a local street gang. And it is going to be available for free on YouTube tomorrow on the Ghostbusters News channel.
That sounds cool.
I've watched the trailer. A couple of times now, and they don't really give away a lot other than it's very clearly a Ghostbusters movie, but it looks really well made. So I'm going to bank on it. I'm going to give it a shot. Ghostbusters Southside, available tomorrow.
Yeah, I'm going to check that out too. That sounds really interesting. I like a lot of those fan films. There's some really good. There's just some really good fan films in general. I saw a Batman fan film once. It was called like Batman versus Alien versus Predator. That was really well done. Don't laugh, Lindsay. It's not funny. Batman had to fight the alien and the Predator. You think that's easy?
And they had face. They didn't even have face clan involved.
They didn't have the face clan. They weren't even born yet. They were only two. All right, Lindsay.
Yeah, Ghostbusters, they really do have a lot of good fan films. There was one I saw years ago, and I've never been able to remember the name of it, but they really expanded on that whole don't look into the trap. Mm. The whole plot was about like somebody reverse engineering the technology and using it to steal people's souls. It was a whole thing. It was pretty cool. It was graphically, it wasn't great because it was, fairly old, but it was a neat concept. So this looks like it might be that, but also it looks really good. So.
Cool. All right, Lindsay, last one.
My last one is from 2019 that you, me, and I believe Bob watched, the Banana Splits movie.
Bloodier
than we were expecting.
Actually, so there were four of us watching it. There were four of us watching it, and I didn't get to watch all of it because that was the same night Billy Hills had an emotional breakdown. So I was gone for half the movie. Yeah, because I was talking to him.
I forgot about that.
I did watch the rest of it later. It is weird. So the Banana Splits is this old. Yeah, it's this old like.
It's a TV series from like the 70s with like people in costumes, like animal costumes.
Yeah.
It's a band.
And
like,
so
I remember watching reruns of it on Nickelodeon when I was a kid. So the fact that they made a movie that turned out to be like a slasher horror film of it was just a weird twist.
It's like Five Nights at Freddy's kind of. They're animatronics and they've gone crazy. Mm-hmm. Speaking of Five Nights at Freddy's, apparently speaking of Jason Blum earlier too, Hunter, he did an interview where he said that they've had to redo the movie like four times now because the asshole who created Five Nights at Freddy's has a clause in the contract that he has to get final approval, and nothing they have presented to him has passed. He has declined everything because he apparently, Jason Blum didn't want to say too much because he didn't want to bite the hands that's feeding him, but he was pretty critical of the dude, which also, fuck that guy, so, All right.
Well, I mean, honestly, not that I want to get off on a rant about fucking Five Nights at Freddy's, but, really striking while the iron's hot on that hot new property that everyone's excited about. Nobody gives a shit about Five Nights at Freddy's anymore, right? Am I crazy? Is
no.
that still a thing?
No, it is. They're coming out with
there's
a new
still
one.
There's a pile of toys at Walmart.
Exactly, there's a pile of toys.
That's the thing, they're not exactly flying off the shelf.
Yeah. So, back when I did sell that merchandise, it was only the original Five Nights. None of the, like, sister location, any of that, all that shit just flopped. It was always the original, and they stopped making a lot of the original stuff because they were cranking out so much new stuff. The newer stuff does not get
Tantrum.
And they already made that movie. It was called Willy's Wonderland, and it wasn't that good either. I'm going to be honest with you. Nick Cage doesn't say a single word in that film, and he's the main star.
What the
fuck? Yeah, he doesn't say a single word.
How you got to waste a voice like Nick Cage, man? Come on.
My last pick, since it's my last turn here, I really enjoyed this movie. I watched it last year. It's called Blood Vessel. It is about, it's during World War II, and a group of soldiers, fighters, they're stranded at sea, and they're going to die out there during the storm when they see a giant ship coming toward them to save them, except it's a Nazi ship. So they have no choice but to get on this Nazi ship, and when they get on there, there's no one there. Everyone's gone. And they have to figure out...
I remember you showing me this trailer.
Yeah, I was... I was well, no, spoiler alert, it's a vampire. But it's not a vampire. It's a very specific vampire. And I can't remember... I want to say it's German. I can't remember the name. It starts with like an S. It's like an ST sound. But it is a very specific vampire. And I mean that because when you see the vampire, it's not a human. It is a monstrous looking thing. And the monster, it's like Pumpkinhead we were talking about earlier. It is so cool looking, the vampire in this movie. It is terrifying the way this thing looks. But it kind of picks them off one by one. What is it?
Nachtzehrer?
No.
That's a German...
Right, yeah, I looked that up earlier, and that is... I kept wanting to say, like, Stroganoff, but I know that's not it, but it's something in that... What'd you say?
Nosferatu, is it?
No, it starts with an S, and I'm going to have to look it up, because it's going to drive me crazy. I used to know the term for it, now I don't. But it's also on Shudder. It's really good. It's just a really cool vampire movie. So go check it out. And then Tanner,
Shannon, Strigoi.
Yeah, Strigoi. That's what it is. Yeah,
there it is.
Yeah,
they used them in. Oh man, what was the name of that series? The Strain, I think, on FX.
Yep.
Yeah, yep. Same concept.
Except again, if you get a chance, look up the monster if nothing else, because that thing looks incredible. Like, it's such good makeup, all practical effects. It just looks fantastic. So it's called Blood Vessel. It's actually kind of fun. It's not straight up scary. What's up, Jonathan Wheeler? You missed the entire list. Go back and listen to it later. And then Tanner, if you don't mind, can I take the last one? Because I've got an old school one I want to throw in that we've never said before, and it shocked me. Unless you've got one.
It may have been said on that Lost episode.
I had an old school one I was going to pick, and I was trying to decide between it and a new one, but you go ahead, and I'll just use mine as honorable mentions.
All right.
Here's the Strigoi, for the record, from that movie, if it's the right one.
Yes, it is. Look at that son of a bitch. He looks like a giant bat monster.
Romanian, not German.
That's cool.
Romanian. That's what it is. Yeah. It's very cool. It's a good movie. I recommend it. For the 31st movie, we've never mentioned on the show before, and I can't believe it, Nightbreed. How we've never mentioned Nightbreed before shocks me. Nightbreed is about a guy who feels drawn to this underground world of monsters. And I forget what the name of the place is. It's been a while since I've seen it. But while he's being drawn to these monsters in this monster world, he's also being hunted by a serial killer. And this is one of the greatest horror villains of all time that never gets any credit. It's a doctor, and he just wears like this suit with this black mask over it with buttons for eyes. If you get a chance, post it in the chat. I want everyone to see it. And he's played by David Cronenberg, the director. Yeah, that's the weird thing. David, let me double check and make sure this is the director I'm thinking of. But he is so good as the serial killer in this film.
Oh, shit. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, you've sent me this image before, I'm pretty sure. I'm looking at it right now. Hang on.
Yeah, it is indeed David Cronenberg. Yeah.
I got you.
Yes.
It's this one.
It's so good. It's such a good, like, such an iconic look for a horror villain. And, like, no one ever really talks about Nightbreed. It kind of flopped when it came out. It's not really a great horror film. It's more of a fantasy film, but it has a ton of horror elements. Midian, that's the name of the place, I believe, is Midian. But yeah, he is so good in this film. So that is going to be my last. That's going to be the last pick for the movies this year. And before we get out of here, Tanner, you had an honorable mention. I wanted to hear what your honorable mention was.
I had two. So
do you want to save them for next year?
No, hell with it. This year, earlier this year, they came out with a new Wrong Turn. I'm a fan of that series.
I heard it was good.
The reviews I'm seeing are pretty good, so I'll go check that out. And also because I finally sat down to watch it, Shannon, Cannibal Holocaust.
That's a rough one.
It's rough.
That's a rough one.
It's rough, but
that one makes me hide. But the camera won't let me.
You can't.
Damn
it. You can't do it.
What is that on? Is that streaming anywhere?
Shudder.
Ugh. I did. All right, that's going to do it for us tonight. We're going to have this list posted tomorrow on Podzilla 1985, obviously. Thank you guys for tuning in. Go watch these films. We'll be back next week, next Thursday, with an all-new Terrifying Tanner Thursday. We're going to bring some more spooky stuff all month long. It's October starting tomorrow. Happy Halloween, everybody. Let's watch those films. Let's drink that pumpkin spice. Fucking white women. And let's...
Jesse.
Hi, I'm white women. Wait.
I have many questions. All right, that's gonna do it for us. We'll see you guys tomorrow for our new Plague Pony time or Nightmare time.
Nightmare.
That'll be tomorrow. We're gonna talk about. You want to know something scary? We're gonna talk about R. Kelly.
Ooh. That's pretty scary.
Terrifying. All right, Tanner. Well, Tanner's gone. Hunter, Tanner's take us out.
Bye.
I can't. I'm too weak. Later.